This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Well, whenever you talk about water and water supplies throughout the state, controversy and contention is sure to follow. DeWitt got an email from Paul. And Paul, thank you so much for chiming in because I do consider that my responsibility on any topic to give both sides of the issue. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. At 8:09, as we ran through Paul's email this morning, in which he raised some very cogent points relative to the Northern Integrated Supply Project. Well, in the interests of fairness, I reached out to Jeff Stala, and ran this by him. And Jeff Stala, public information officer with Northern Water, was very gracious, saying, "Well, yes, I'd be happy to come on and discuss some of those things that Paul raised." Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, Gail. How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you so much for taking the time. And again, as I said in the open, you at Northern Water, you're no stranger to controversy and, let's say, rather robust conversations when it comes to the variety of projects that you're working on, right?
That's correct. And one of the questions that people always have is, why do these projects take so long? And one of the reasons that it takes a long time to get a permit is getting feedback from the community, going back to the drawing boards sometimes, and in all, making a better project. And so when people talk about, well, NISPA's taken 15, 17 years, well, it's because we've heard some of the comments raised by City of Fort Collins and residents in Northern Colorado, and we've changed the project to make it better. And so that's something we're always happy to talk about.
Well, and I think that's very positive because you welcome all viewpoints, all perspectives, and all concerns in order, as you said, to make the project better. So wanted to run some of Paul's concerns by you when it comes to NISP. One thing that he said in this email, the main reason that NISP is a very bad idea is that it would enable unrestrained population growth in the 15 partner cities in northern Colorado at a time when no amount of reservoir storage could sustain the population already here through a major drought.
Right. And there's a lot going on in that comment, but I think the main one is one that if you've been in northern Colorado for any amount of time, you look around and you recognize that growth is coming at us in all directions, that you drive through cities that you feel like you know like the back of your hand, and then you turn around and there's a new housing development that you don't recognize.
Right.
People are moving here because of the great quality of life of Northern Colorado and that there's jobs and a great economy. And so it's not a matter of whether there's water available. It's a matter of people are moving here, and utility managers are having to make sure that they've got the water available for those folks who are moving in and making this a vibrant, vibrant region.
And see, that was my take on it, his use of the word enable. And again, I'm not, you know, getting into the weeds here and parsing through the lexicon and, you know, attacking him on his word choice. But to say it would enable unrestrained population growth if with NISP, to me, as you so cogently referenced, Jeff, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of they are moving into the state. People are coming to the state, and we're going to need those resources in the future. And given the fact that it is a rather lengthy process, well, it behooves all of us to get behind these projects. It's not like NISP is driving population growth. Am I wrong?
Correct. And if NISP were to be denied, that wouldn't stop the faucet of people. And one of those faucets is also our children and grandchildren. Mm-hmm. My children are growing up, and they're, if all things being equal, I'd sure love to have them live close enough that if I were to have grandkids, that I could visit them in a car drive rather than an airplane flight. And so, yeah, if NISP were to be shut off, that doesn't mean that there's going to be zero growth. It means that the growth is going to be much less planned, and these water providers are going to be competing with each other rather than cooperating with each other, going through a permitting process and making a good project.
Now, Paul also referenced that the NIST project would include building a new 280-foot high earth-filled dam, 1 mile wide at the mouth of the Poudre, and would use pumps to lift water from the river. Address that concern, if you would.
And he's absolutely right that water storage in Colorado means building dams. When the first pioneers came out to eastern Colorado, there's no natural lakes here. If you want to store water, you have to build a dam. And so to his point about, look, there's going to be a large dam and you're going to have to pump water into it. That's exactly how Carter Lake is filled today, that there's actually multiple dams and water is lifted through the Colorado Big Thompson Project up into the reservoir. Horsetooth Reservoir, again, has four dams that hold that water in. So the fact that there's a dam, that's not unusual in Colorado, that's water storage, and that's been generations proven that that's an effective and efficient way to store water in Colorado.
Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, joined this morning by Jeff Stala. Jeff is Public Information Officer with Northern Water. Okay, Paul went on to make this point. If it were to be built, NISP could only supply 40,000 acre feet to the partner cities, less than 0.05% of the water now used by agriculture in Colorado. And according to the state's website, more than 86% of all available water in this area is used by agriculture. Your take?
Well, and that's an argument that we hear often, and that is, well, there's plenty of water in agriculture. Let's just go take that. And unfortunately, that I think makes for a less vibrant Northern Colorado economy. We've seen what happened in southeastern Colorado when the metro area of Denver came calling for their water. They dried up those farms and, in a lot of cases, had real devastating impacts on those communities. So to have the argument of, well, just go out to the farms and dry them up, I think makes us lesser as a region, that the farms not only provide us the food that we eat, which is, again, that's the number one goal, but then the number two item is that you see that there's separators between our community, that they provide really that green space that we all appreciate and contributes to our quality of life here. So with NISP, we actually have a project where we can work with the farmers, and mainly north of Greeley, to do an exchange of water that keeps them in production but allows the growing communities like Windsor, Eaton, Severance to also have water supply. And so we kind of get the best of both worlds by being able to keep water on farms, keep that production going while also being able to manage our growth. And so I find that to be a preference to drying up farms.
Yeah, not a good thing, to be sure. What about Paul's point that the 40,000 acre feet of water promise could be obtained by lining existing ditches and fixing system leaks and inefficiencies? Would that solve the problem?
Well, that number is put out there because there are studies shown that there are leaks in ditches and there are things like that. But converting those repairs and converting that water savings into an adequate and reliable water supply is just not feasible at this point, because you end up, where are you going to store that water that you save? You would need a big reservoir, number one. Number two, the leaks are occurring in ditches and in water infrastructure for water rights that are already claimed and already being used by those who own them. And so what you're saying is, not only would we do something to repair the ditches and fix those leaks, but then we would somehow then be able to cajole those ditch owners into then selling or giving or however providing that water to the municipalities. And so there are so many moving parts on that are perhaps feasible, but certainly not proven. And then so many other components that are just, I think, fantastical that it just really doesn't work as a viable option that a utility director can depend on to deliver water in and out every year to his community.
And finally, Jeff, would like you to address his concern that NISP would transfer what he referred to as a relatively small amount of water, 18 to 25 cubic feet per second, from Glade Reservoir into the Poudre, divert it back out of the river north Fort Collins. He talks about pumps across Fort Collins that would be used to pump this recaptured flow, and the easements built through four heavily used natural areas developed and paid for by the city of Fort Collins. Help us work through that.
Sure thing. So many years ago, in the first design of NISP, all of the water from Glade Reservoir would be taken in a pipeline out across northern Larimer County. What we heard from the city of Fort Collins was, is there any way to increase the flow in the Poudre River? And so we came back in 2015, 2016 with this conveyance program that allows water to be delivered from Glade Reservoir into the Poudre River through downtown Fort Collins and their new Whitewater Park, all the way down to eastern Fort Collins, where mm-hmm. a smaller pipe would pick it up and deliver it to the communities. And so this meets a goal of having more water in the river. And we're excited to be able to do that because there are some times in which ditch companies can take a lot of the water out of the river. And so, and that's a status quo that we think we can have some fix on that. And so to the argument that that's not kosher. Well, it certainly makes it better than it currently is. And so that's something where we want to be able to, you know, many, many days of the year have more water in the river than historically there's been in the past 100 years. And I think that that makes for a better quality of life in Fort Collins. It makes that Whitewater Park more usable on a day in, day out basis through the summer and into the fall, when it's just a great time to be out on the water.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that it's a very complex issue, difficult to cover in just a few minutes, but I think you've done a great job, as did Paul. Paul, thank you so much for your email that sparked this discussion with Jeff Stala, Public Information Officer with Northern Water. And so we presented both sides of the story to the extent that we could in limited time this morning. Jeff, where can we learn more about NISP?
Yes, so we have a website, gladereservoir.org, and then we also have some social media, if that's the way that you get your information. We have a Facebook page and even a Twitter account for Glade Reservoir.
Jeff Stala, thank you as always for your time, your perspective. Certainly appreciate all the work that you and your colleagues do at Northern Water.
Thank you.
822 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA. Stay with us. Still have a lot to cover just right around the corner.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Carr with Fat Guys at the Movies, and you're listening to Mornings with Gail on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I just want your extra time and your kiss.
You might want to also ask when they had their last dental checkup before you swap a little spit with that kiss. 8:38 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And I love noodling around on social media because, boy, do I come up with some whoppers, with some Well, they might be dental myths, but then again, they might not be. But it's always a great opportunity to reach out to a great sponsor of Mornings with Gail, Dr. Buddy Benson with Integrated Dental in West Greeley. And Dr. Benson, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Gail. Great having me. How you been?
I've been pretty well. And you?
I cannot complain. We're getting ready to get the kids back into school. It's that time again. It's hard to believe the summer's almost over.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it has certainly flown by, and COVID-19 permitting. I mean, what a blessing to be able to get our kids back into school. And again, it's not a shot at, school districts around the nation with remote learning. I mean, you know, it was kind of like a bookmark in the learning process. They had to do what they could do in order to keep the kids engaged and involved. But let's just say it wasn't ideal. So that's good to hear.
I agree 100%, and they're back, and we're all ready to roll.
All right, so I can't remember if I pulled this off of, it could have been TikTok or Instagram, this piece talking about the fact that if you're kissing someone with poor dental hygiene, well, that could ruin your smile as well. Is there any truth to that?
There actually is. When you're born, you're actually born with a certain amount of natural bacterial flora, all the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And actually, we get all the bad bacteria from our mothers when they give us our first kiss. So, absolutely. Yeah, we actually learned that in dental school. I still remember it to this day because it was kind of a big joke. You know, who's your first kiss? Usually it's your mother, not your dad. And so we always had to blame mom for getting our cavities. And so, because that's actually where we get our first bad bacteria. So actually, yes, if you've got somebody that's your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, and you're kissing and you're swapping spit, and they have a less than healthy oral hygiene, you're going to be intaking a lot of that bad bacteria as well.
Wow. Okay. And it's not just because it's female. It's because as you noted, typically mommies give the first kisses, right?
They do. Absolutely.
All right. Got it. All right. Well, so this leads to a rather touchy subject. Let's say that you are involved with someone with less than stellar dental hygiene. How would you suggest talking with them about that?
I've always been open and honest is the best way to lead to a strong relationship. I mean, secrets don't help anybody. And it's just like anything else. If you've got pain somewhere else, you're not going to not want to go to the doctor, or you're not going to want to point that. If you see something, significant others should be doing also mole checks on their other's back, because we can't see it.
Right.
And I'm a direct beneficiary of that, because I actually had melanoma on my back. And I just caught a brief glimpse of it, but I couldn't really see it. So I had my wife look at it and take a picture of it, and went to the dermatologist, and they did a biopsy, and sure enough, it was melanoma. And so we caught it super early. It was in situ, but because she was just like, no, let me look at it, saved my life. And so, so we have to be open and honest with our partners. And I don't think dental hygiene, because it is part of the medical field. We have to be open and honest. If you've got bad breath, if you've got something in there that doesn't smell right or look right, I think you kind of have an obligation to tell your partner, and you do it hopefully from a place of love and caring. But you're doing it to help the person that you're with, because we want to get them help. And then you can even make it a little and say, hey, I've got a great dentist. Why don't I take you to my dentist and let them check you out? So that is, and usually that is what happens a lot of times with our male patients. It's rarely are they the ones making the appointment. It's usually their wives or significant others making their appointments for us. Because, you know, guys, we need help. That's why I have assistants. That's why I have my wife. I would be all over the place if I didn't have people keeping me in line.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, that's the point of being on a team, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Exactly.
I saw a great definition yesterday is for significant other and significant. If you break it down, it says sign if I can't. So
You gotta love it, absolutely. Because, you know, as I'm fond of saying, you know, I have the absolute pleasure of doing spots for you for Integrated Dental in West Greeley, and talking about the fact that, well, a lot of things fell by the wayside over the past year, particularly when it came to routine checkups and routine dental care. And the fact of the matter is, what you need to remember is that your dental health is a direct reflection of your overall health, and that's why it's so important that you focus up and you pay attention.
100%. I mean, I could pretty much look at somebody's mouth and I can tell you pretty much how the rest of their body is. I don't really, you know, we'll look at their health history, of course, but I can tell you the overall condition of their body just by the way their mouth is and the inflammation. It's really all comes down to inflammation. If you've got a lot of inflammation in your mouth, chances are you've got a lot of inflammation in your body. And inflammation's a killer, whether it's COVID or not.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Dr. Benson, because you're absolutely correct. Yeah. All right. Who's better at flossing overall? Don't know if you can generalize here, men or women.
It's actually pretty 50-50.
Really?
Yeah, I got a lot of guys. I mean, because a lot of it comes down to education, is, you know, that we've got so many tools now. We've got water picks, we got water flossers, we've got regular flossers, we've got super floss, we've got sonic toothbrushes. So you really find out what the patient's lifestyle is, how busy they are, and then you curtail whatever tools we have that's going to best give them the overall dental health experience outside of the dental office. And so that's usually what I do with my patients, especially our hygienists. All of our hygienists are absolutely fantastic at educating the patients. And basically curtailing an oral hygiene program specifically to them. There's not one, just like anything, not one size fits all. And so we just, whatever tool fits in the best to get them the best results, that's what we're going to go with.
845 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 and KFKA, joined by Dr. Buddy Benson, Integrated Dental in West Greeley. All right, here's another one that I came across. And, boy, it sounds as though it's best laid plans, right? Our best intentions might be affecting our overall dental health, because is it true that we should never use mouthwash after brushing our teeth?
So that was, I watched what you sent me, and I'd seen a little blip of a friend of mine sent it to me, and she's using a base mouthwash, like a Scope, not a specific fluoride based mouthwash, like an Act or a Colgate Total or a Listerine Zero. I think it's maybe Listerine Total as well. There are several, if you see anything that's anti-cavity, toothpaste anti-cavity, mouth rinse anti-cavity, all that means is that it has fluoride. And there are different types of fluoride depending upon what we're needing. But typically, we all brush our teeth and then we rinse with water. When we rinse with water, we're actually taking away the fluoride that is in the toothpaste. It's actually not a good thing to do. The problem is toothpaste makers also put a little bit of grit in our toothpaste, so we have to wash out the grit. Mm-hmm. So that's why people would typically rinse with something after brushing their teeth. She's more referring to like a Scope, just a mouthwash, not an anti-cavity mouthwash that's specifically designed for prevention of cavities. So it was a little bit of a misnomer because she didn't explain. I don't know if she didn't want to say anything about specific brands. I remember, you know, Scope being really big when my dad was a dentist. But that was more, again, mouthwash for freshening breath, stuff like that. And that's not something that you want to use right before bed. It's just because it does actually take away all of the fluoride that you've used with. If you're wanting to use a mouth rinse, make sure it's a fluoride-based mouth rinse, like an Act, like a Colgate Total Listerine makes one. But you want that anti-cavity on there. And that let that be the very last thing that touches your teeth at night. So I think it was more or less just a misrepresentation of what she was talking about. She specifically was mentioning mouthwash, which is typically, you know, just what you'd find in, you know, maybe the, you know, through the restroom, where people, where they used to, you know, have the little dispenser and you, you know, freshen your breath up because you may be on a date or something like that. And so that's what you don't want to use right before you go to bed, because typically it does have a lot less fluoride, and some of them doesn't have any. The older ones even had a little bit of sugar, so it was a terrible, terrible thing. So it was even worse.
Kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it,
yeah,
Dr. Benson?
Yeah, and so it's one of those where you want to talk to your doctor. Do you have a little bit of enamel that's going to be a little bit more subject to cavities? And if so, do you actually need to be on a fluoride-based toothpaste, a prescription toothpaste, or a prescription rinse? So that's definitely something you want to discuss with your dentist. But if you're just looking for an overall rinse, just make sure it says anti-cavity on there. And then you can also look on the back of the fluoride concentration. And as long as it has a little bit of fluoride in there, honestly, a little bit is better than nothing, because there are some areas that still don't put fluoride in their drinking water, which is not really all that good. So, I think maybe Loveland was one of them that actually just recently, in the last couple of years, took fluoride out of their water. Much to the great chagrin of the dentist in there, they couldn't believe it, but they did. So, she was referring more to breath saver based mouthwashes as opposed to true anti cavity mouthwashes is what she was referring to. Did a little more research on it, and that's what she was referring to, because we measure fluoride in what's called parts per million. Mm-hmm. And the fluoride account in our toothpaste versus the fluoride count in the anti-cavity mouthwashes is a similar ratio. They may be off by a little bit, but if that's the last thing to touch your mouth before you go to bed, all of that fluoride is working over time and every night, and it kind of builds on itself, so it's definitely not a bad thing to do.
So you concur with think of mouthwash essentially as a palate cleanser and not a nightcap?
Correct. Yeah. If it's just a basic mouthwash, again, Scopes, the one I go, there are several brands that I just remember my aunt and my dad's always using Scope. And so Scope has got the quintessential mouthwash. But yeah, it's just a palate cleanser, something to just kind of freshen your breath, but it does nothing for prevention of cavities.
Now, Dr. Benson, you and your colleagues at Integrated Dental in West Greeley stayed very, very busy over the pandemic. But as I referenced earlier, a lot of folks let those routine checkups go by the wayside. So are you seeing people as we come out of the COVID cocoon? I say that with my fingers crossed and knocking on wood. Are you seeing more people getting back into that standard routine, getting back into, you know, pay attention to their dental health?
We are not as many as I would like, honestly. I mean, I still think that there is some general fear that's still going on. I think a lot of it is perpetuated by the media. I always tell people, trust but verify, but go out and do your own research. Look at what's actually going on in the world. And then get the actual numbers and then make that decision for yourself. But still to this date, to my knowledge, there has not been a single COVID outbreak related to any dentist because of the cleaning measures that we do take. It's a very, 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 very safe place. And again, the connection between COVID and any inflammatory disease and dental care and lack of dental care is very significant. So right now we're in the state of prevention. Everything is now preventing disease, preventing illnesses, preventing inflammation. And it really does start with your dentist. Your dentist, I've detected more medical issues than your typical medical doctor, because we just only see our medical doctor when we're sick. But we see that routine dental visit that hopefully you're seeing your dentist every 6 months. And they're going to catch things. And I've caught a lot over the years, some that have saved people's lives. And so it's just so important to see your dentist, just because of what we can see and what we can refer to get you into basically just a good state of health. Be a prevention. We can't prevent against everything, but boy, if we put up a good force field, it's going to take a lot for a lot of that stuff to get through it.
It's kind of a window into what lies beneath when it comes to your overall health, right?
Yep, eyes are the windows of the soul. The mouth is the gateway to the body. So there you go.
There you go. Dr. Buddy Benson, Integrated Dental in West Greeley. Always a pleasure catching up with you. And for outstanding care, I would highly suggest that you get in to see Dr. Buddy Benson and his experienced, capable staff at Integrated Dental in West Greeley. How do we get in touch with you?
Easiest way is give our office a call, 970-351-7153, 970-351-7153. 7153. You can also go to the website, IDA-Greeley.com, and you can actually request an appointment online. We'll get back to you within 24 hours.
Sounds like a plan. Dr. Buddy Benson, Integrated Dental, Wes Greeley, thanks so much, as always, for your time and kind of debunking the myths, and keep smiling, my friend.
My pleasure, Gail. Always a pleasure to be on with you. Look forward to our next visit.
Take good care. 853 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Can't say it enough, 8:59 now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Your home, by the way, 103.1, 1310 KFKA is for live and local programming. So keep it right here. NoCo Now coming your way at 9. Clark and the Coach at 11. The Hall Show at noon. And the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary at 3. So lock it right here.